Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Solera Report. It is my absolute pleasure today to introduce you to two unique and special people who are doing some of the most remarkable things going on in the planet right now. First is an attorney I met when I was in Geneva. We were all over there shaking our fists and protesting what was going on at the WHO. Diane Proté, who is from Paris, she is a litigator. Having met her and learned a little bit about what she's doing, I'm so glad when I litigated, she wasn't on the other side. She's very charming, but also you can see very scary in the litigation. But she has put a portion of her practice now to trying to help us stop some of the worst things going on in COVID. I will let her tell you more about it. She has a law firm that does international litigation. So she's got partners in the United States and partners in France. And so she's dealing with a pretty sophisticated transactional practice, but now adding COVID, it's no more complicated sort of, I don't know, Diane, I don't know how you do it, but you seem to do it very well. Anyway, but I want to welcome you to the Solera Report, and I also want to welcome Melody Farron, who is you are seriously into cahoots with on an initiative that we're here to talk about today called Where Is My Period? So Diane, welcome, and maybe if you could start by telling us how you and Melody ended up in this fantastic collaboration. You there? I'm not hearing you.
Yes, are you on mute? Thank you, Catherine, for this very nice introduction. It was a pleasure to meet you also in Geneva. So about the background and how we met with Melody, someone put us together because at the beginning, I was doing lots of trial against lockdown, but also against vaccination mandate, especially for the doctors, because it was made compulsory for them to take the jab to continue on their job. And I was also at the time appointed by a hundred of pilots and stewardess to be their lawyer and to try to stop the sanitary pass or the vaccine pass, because for some part of the population, doctors, the vaccination against COVID is compulsory, but for the rest of the population, the government says it's not compulsory, but if you don't get vaccine, you don't have the pass and you cannot enter shops, you cannot travel, you cannot even go to the hospital. In France, you have to know that still now we are still having this sanitary pass upon people who are not vaccinated. Even the women who are pregnant, who are not vaccinated, they have to show the pass to enter the hospital right now. And while I was doing a case for the pilot and the stewardess were saying that they didn't need, that they are, that the vaccination might be dangerous for them and not necessary to protect the public. Well, I discovered that lots of hostess had among their side effects. It was 70% thought that their side effects was shown by the women, and they were bleeding and bleeding a lot, or stopping having their periods. And this was in November. But I think it was around February or March, because Melody will tell you, but she launched her initiative in January. And I was making an inquiry about side effects with the help of some doctors. And one of them told me, but do you know Melody? Have you ever heard about what she is doing? And so they gave me details, and I phoned her. I think I was the one, and I said, well, you are doing something great, and we have the hostess who can help you to testify, because while flying, the bleeding problem of the hostess are even more visible. And we start talking together to see what we could do. And then we went on, and we had the idea to participate in Senate committee, in an inquiry launched by the French Senate about side effects. And this inquiry was made possible in February because 30,000 citizens, French citizens, sent a request to our Senate saying, we need you to make this inquiry. Normally, the Senate launched the inquiry only if they have 100,000 people asking for it. But there, after receiving 30,000 demands, the Senate launched this inquiry, and some of the victims ask to be heard. And with Melody, we decided to ask the Senate to hear us, and we succeeded in him. We succeed in being heard by the Senate, who heard us, and also just render his first conclusion on the 9th of January, and they are opening.
So hold up on that, because I want to back up and turn to Melody. Now, Melody, you are a cabinet maker, and I told you that is a profession that is very popular and respected here on the Salera Report. So number one, we're impressed. But you also have two young children. So you're obviously very busy. You live near Paris. You know, there's having a profession, being a mother, you're very, how in the world did you catapult to a leadership role with Where Is My Period? What happened?
I'm sorry, my English is not very good. I will make my best, but maybe there's going to be a lot of mistakes.
So Melody, I had 2 years of French, and I'm glad I don't have to try and speak French, because you would laugh. So feel wonderful about your English.
Thank you very much. So I get vaccinated last summer, and then I had a lot of problems with my periods, a lot with hemorrhage and everything. And when I talked to my doctor, he just said, oh, no, it's nothing, no. But I was very sick, and I felt very bad in my body. And when I was talking around me with a lot of women, I realized that there were a lot of women who were injured by that. And that it was a really, really huge silence, you know? We can't talk about vaccines injuries. It's bad things to do. So it was terrible. And I decided to open the Instagram account on the 1st of January, more or less. And then I received a lot of testimonies, lots, really. And some people just told me, yes, my cycle is not the same, but it's all right. And others just have to get an hysterectomy. It is when you make a surgery to take the vagina away, you know, the uterus.
Wow, right.
The uterus, sorry. So I have the time for that.
But there's a very courageous spirit here, because, you know, when a lot of women stand up and say, wait a minute, where's our period, or we're bleeding, or I don't know, a lot of times we've all been shamed or humiliated into keeping our problems quiet.
Of course.
This is the opposite. This is like, you know, spring break. Like, oh no, we're really going to talk about this.
Yes, we are.
So you bring a spirit of, you just bring a very refreshing spirit of transparency to breaking loose the whole thing. So, okay, so take us back now to the Senate. You got a Senate report, and I think getting into the Senate, getting the testimony, getting it recorded, and getting a report, this is a huge accomplishment in this environment in bringing transparency. So tell us about, both of you, just tell us about the report. What did they say?
Maybe Melody could say, because she was the one first during the hearings to share the testimony that she has. Maybe we can share this with you, some of the testimonies that we sent to the Senate, for give examples.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little girl, she's 13, and she doesn't have her periods anymore, and also her breasts. It's an atrophy of the breast, you know. So no, they said that she was in premenopause. I don't know how to say that in English. Premenopause.
Premenopause. Yeah, that's
premenopause,
right.
Premenopause. Yeah. But she's 13. It's an example among others, because there's a lot of more that when I said that some. Some girls, they just don't have, some women don't have their period since a year. And some doctor said, oh yeah, maybe it can happen with the vaccine. And that's it. And others, they can't work because they are bleeding all the time.
Right.
All the time with pain, very terrible pain, and they are lying all the time, bleeding, and they can't move. Right. That's it. Okay, it's gonna be all right.
So some have lost their uterus.
Yeah,
they've had to have surgery.
Yeah, because of adenomyosis. It's like endometriosis, but inside the uterus, and it's so strong, so painful, and it's bleeding all the time. So the only way to get out of that is to remove the uterus.
Right. So I remember Diana told me one hostess said, "Why do I have to lose my uterus to keep my job?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for a lot, it was that, because you can live. Sometimes it's for the job, and sometimes it's just to have a normal life back.
Right.
Because you can go shopping. You can take care of your kids if you have kids. You can move, travel, nothing.
Right.
And yeah, this is the case of the host of the French hostess who were part of the Freedom Flyers that I represent, but also part of the Where Is My Period initiative. And she was very moving because she started bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. And if there is a problem in the plane, she cannot open the toboggan to help you. So this, she said also to the snake, it's a problem of security. Hostess, we have a job. We men, we do have a job. We do have kids, and I have to work for the family, as you said, but we do also have important job to perform. And I think we cannot say that women are kind of useless in our society from a job perspective. An hostess is very important for the security of the plane.
Absolutely.
And this is like saying, well, ladies, well, you are complaining as usual, and go out of your bed and try to leave again. It's not that big a deal. And this is a very hard problem because it's causing leave of work. At the beginning, for one of the side effects, to say under the law that it was an important side effect, it has to be a side effect where you end up at the hospital, or you might be dead, or have consequences permanently. But with all the side effects, and it is in this report, they decided to say that it's an important side effect when, after the vaccine, you cannot go on working. And so we have the proof that lots of people had to stop work after getting the jab. And for the women, sometimes they have to stop working each month because of the period that are suddenly becoming very, very hurtful. So this is a real problem that has been demonstrated. But also I wanted to say that we have a testimony of women who are sent to the Senate saying that when they started to go for in vitro fecundation, they said that their ovary reserve was calculated by the doctors. So they said, for example, for a woman, well, you still have, I don't know how many ovaries, but X ovaries. And then they to keep on being in this in vitro program, they had to get vaccine. And after 1 month after the vaccination, they get their ovaries reserve to be calculated again. And we realized that their ovarian reserve has dropped on. But for them.
So literally, we're looking at something where fertility could decline, and it could even represent sterility.
Yes, yes, really. We have a lot of testimonies like that. And I don't know, a woman with very, very well, with a very good health and everything. She's 20, everything is all right. She's getting vaccinated. No, she can't have babies, never.
Right.
Okay, but she was all right. The only thing that happened, the only changement in her life, it is the jab. That's it.
So when this started, when the injection process started, I was a member of a group that would come into the town hall meetings at Doctors for COVID Ethics. And Michael Yaden, who was a former VP of Pfizer, was very concerned that no proper testing had been done to assure that this injection wasn't going to harm fertility. And he was very concerned and very suspicious. And he was the first to raise the alarm. And then when, I don't know if you remember this, Diane, when some of the disclosure came out in Japan and some of the studies that had been done, it was clear that the lipid nanoparticles were going to harm the ovaries. And there was real concerns about that. And Michael Palmer, Dr. Michael Palmer, was, you know, very strong on this issue, that there were real alarm bells. And now we have Dr. Naomi Wolf putting together a volunteer effort to go through all the Pfizer documents that have been forced out of court. And she's just saying, if you look at what they knew about the harm to pregnant women or to women or the fertility issues, you know, that allowing this to then come out after what they knew internally, that's genocide. And she's been very, very strong. So there's been repeated concerns in the medical community, but to me, the proof positive of the problem is what you two are doing by bringing out so many women with such a wide range of health and background who are providing testimony to this. This to me is very, very powerful.
But maybe I can say about the conclusion, the first conclusion, because the Senate committee, first of all, was supposed to render its conclusion before the French presidential election, and then it was delayed. And then they said they will give the conclusion in October, but it was not possible to wait that long. So they gave the conclusion on the 9th of June. But this is the first conclusion, that there will be an addendum to this in October. And they are, and I will read it, they are recognizing the women issue. But for the infertility, look on that, they are saying, it's in French, so I'm reading it, everybody can find it on the Senate French website. It's on page 46, it's about women problem. And it's saying, it says, well, they didn't have proof that women that are participating in in vitro program has had a decrease of their ovarian reserve. But this is like perjury, because we have the bailiff who made, in French we say a constat, and we have it, and I will put everything in form, but we have it with Melody. We have this bailiff proof that we sent with my secretary and with Melody, we sent to the member of the Senate inquiry the testimony with all the medical elements. Melody can back me on that, because you are asking to the woman to give the medical. We are not doctors, we don't treat, but we sent it, so my secretary can testify, Melody can testify, I can testify that we send these elements to the Senate. But if they say there is a problem with the women, they don't go forward on this particular point, and this is perjury.
You know, I've seen that happen many times in these situations, so I'm not surprised. So tell us what's next. What, now that the report is out, what is the next step for the Where Is My Period initiative? Because from what I see, groups of women are coming forward all over the world, and you're connecting with them. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right. Exactly. From Canada, Israel, Sweden, New Caledonia.
Uh-huh.
Loads. lots of women are joining them. It's huge. So we have to keep fighting and to keep talking about that, because as you said just before, the cycle, the periods, it's a taboo, you know?
Right, right.
So we are, first we had to break it. So yeah. I think it's done for most of the people, but not everywhere, and not for everyone. Yeah. So we're gonna continue to talk about that, to testify. It's very important, because women, they just need to be heard, you know.
Yeah.
And so
They're not alone. They're not alone.
No, they're not alone, and they're not crazy, because some doctors told them that they were just crazy, you know. You have maybe to take some drugs, you know, some pills to get less stress and everything. So no, we know, like because of the Senate, that it's written, there is a huge problem. Okay,
right.
Next step. So we're going to continue to do that. And then we will talk with Diane. So what is the best way, you know? I'm not, we're not running for money at all.
Right.
This, all this needs to stop really, really quickly.
Right.
Now, the kid, the child and everything, it's just crazy.
It's terrible.
What is happening? So
right.
We have to stop that and to say, okay, look at this, the sterility of a lot of women. What are we doing to the fertility? What are we doing to child and everything? And next, I think it's, this is the next point.
Right, so I know you know the FDA has just approved the Pfizer vaccine for 5-year-olds and up in the US. It's very, mm-hmm. it's very, very bad. And as one author said today, you know, I'd like to point out there's no statute of limitations on murder. So we just had on last Friday, Children's Health Defense just published a new documentary by Andrew Wakefield called Infertility, a Diabolical Agenda. Have either of you had a chance to watch it yet?
I did watch it and I know the story, but maybe just consider Melody. He's trying to make it all around the world, but a book is going to be published in September with all the testimony of the women.
Fabulous.
You find an editor and it's going to be for September.
Let me ask you something. Is it possible to get it translated into other languages?
Yeah.
So is it coming out in French and can we get it in English?
Yes, I think it's in the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, how can we help you do that? If you're going to get this out in September, what can the people
any time. Listen? You can give me time. It's going to be all right. How can you help me?
Do you accept donations? Do you need money to help get it translated?
My editor is going to use to that, you know. He published the Kennedy book, you know.
Yes, great.
Mark Peter, he's a brave publisher because he published the translation of the Robert Kennedy book in. And so he was very interesting, this project. And I think Mary's writing it, of course, but he has this idea of also making an internet book where the testimonies can be added by the women.
Wonderful.
Online.
Wonderful.
The idea to help. Yeah. And the other thing that Melody is doing is also in Israel, the testimony projects that now that we've been to the Senate, now that we are not crazy, that women are not crazy, I sent it to you, Melody was able to convince member of the collective to start testifying with their face. And this is something this is very important.
So what about, do you want more testimony? If people are willing to send testimony, do you want us to do that?
Of course.
Oh, yes.
Where should we send it?
No, I have an email address I can give you just
okay.
Like
okay.
What French, is it? But we're going to make an English one.
Give us the French one.
Où est mon cycle? @gmail.com. But I'm gonna make one where is my period. It's gonna be easier for everyone.
Okay, but you can also send me the one you have now. We'll post it until you get the new one. And when we get the new one, we'll post that too. So we can send you testimony, but when we know when the book is coming out, mm-hmm. we can publicize it and get people reading it, sending it around, everything else, okay? Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't want to speak much, but the other idea I wanted to tell you, because this Senate report is what is protecting the woman, the voice of the woman that we are representing. This is why it's very important, because I wanted to read it and translate the page 46 that we have, because we said that for interfertility, there is a kind of perjury from the Senate of committee.
Right.
But for the rest of it, this is the first victory of Melody and all the women who are working with her. They say regarding the mass of testimony that have been received, it cannot be a coincidence, a temporal coincidence that it appears just after the vaccination. So it is very surprising that the European Medical Agency has not already considered this trouble of women as a side effect of the vaccine. This can only reinforce the breaking of the link between the people and the medical authority. They are saying that with no other explanation, we cannot admit, the women cannot admit that the doctor said to them it's the stress. There is a link. No, but this is what is written. So just right. to explain, because first, the French Ministry of Health knew there was a problem. He said on television that the period will come back. 1 year after, it's not coming back. But what we know is that the French sanitary authorities, they knew about the signal. They right. send it to Europe, and Europe shut it down. And so now,
really,
this is what they said. They said in the report, well, we tried, but the European Union shut it off. And now they are asking the European Union to reopen it. So what is the goal of Melanie and all the collective? As she said, it's not the money, it's not anything, it's to stop this craziness. And with this, we will go, because we have been received by some deputies in Europe. Right. We are asking the European Union and Ursula von Leyen to stop the purchase of the new vaccine, because they do not work. We know about it, and they give side effects to the women. So we are trying to stop. We already sent the letter to Ursula von Leyen, and we will send her the Senate report and ask on the name of the woman to stop the purchasing of the fourth dose. And the only other thing we want to do, that we will do, we are working on it, is to send this Senate report to different medical authorities in France, and especially to the president of the scientific committee that has been appointed to the president, to ask him if now, after 1 year and a half of using this vaccine, could he ensure the women that the benefit for them is does still outpass the risk. And right. we want, with your help also, and all the person we have met, we hope that women in other countries will ask their Senate also, that people will ask for the same inquiry in their country. So this is what I wanted to...
There's one senator who's held hearings and on a variety of topics related to adverse events and death. And so it's happening. We have big elections in November. And so what happens with those could change dramatically the possibility of what can be done. Now, I wanted to mention, because I talked to Diane about this when we were in Geneva, we luckily things were delayed, and so we got to go off and go in the beautiful, sit under the beautiful tree and scheme. And so Diane and I were figuring out on what the best conspiracy was to support here. And so you said something I thought was very important. You said, this is the issue that we can get to organize and gather people globally to push back together. And then I told you this, and I want Melody to hear this. If you go back in the history of the United States and you look at where the tyranny was stopped again and again and again, it was stopped because the mothers threw down the gauntlet and said, no, no. That's how we won on homeschooling. That's how we've won on a whole series of issues. And one of the things I've experienced politically my whole life is, if there's anybody Mr. Global is afraid of, it's mothers. And I see what you're doing is right in that stream of mothers who know they're standing on solid ground. They understand what's important, and they are willing to speak life into our situation. And I just think it's what you're doing is very, very powerful. And the more we can help you link up with the global forces and support you doing exactly what you're doing, I just think that would be better. So I would just, when you have a link to get the book publicized and spread and ordered, let me know, and we will make it one of our highest priorities. I think it's great.
I will. Thank you very much. Also, Diane is writing in the book too. She is taking the low part.
Yeah, Melody, make me the honor to ask me to write a few pages, and also to the gynecologist from Belgium who helped us, because there was this TV emission in the European Parliament who was load maybe 1 million times, been seen a 500,000 times and load a million times with this. And we had the most trouble in France to find a gynecologist who was okay to speak to help the women. So since Mary lived in Belgium for a while, this is how you find Laurence, and she has this courage. And then after doing that, she was the medical association put a claim against her, but we all went to defend her in Belgium. We made a support for Laurence.
What was their claim?
Oh, you're gonna laugh, because it was not especially about the TV show. They went back in time and they reproached her. They said that during a manifestation, a big one in January, the one where, by the way, in Brussels, where Robert Kennedy went, she said, because someone asked the question from her heart, she answered and she said, well, we have to take the mask out of the children and we have to go on kiss each other again because Omicron is a natural vaccine. So she said the same thing as Bill Gates. And this is how she ended up being having this trouble. But we went all to support her. So she didn't get the trouble because she speaks, especially women. They went back on time about Omicron. And so we are waiting the decision to help Laurence. It's going to be in July. And she's going to write a few pages also on the book, because it's very hard for us to make a team of gynecologists to help us. And this is, I'm trying to do that in France also, because now gynecologists, well, personally, I'm working to help us. Maybe in your country, we can have gynecologists that are interested by all the testimony that we are gathering to help find cure, because this is the idea of it. If nobody talks, well, nobody, if people are afraid to talk about their period.
Right, exactly.
We cannot cure. This is the question also. Right.
Well, I think the doctor, you know, I've experienced many, many doctors who are very afraid. But the more doctors who speak up and the more doctors who speak out, the easier it becomes for some of them to do that. So, you know, God bless the ones who would do it early. Okay. So, so where have you gotten any contacts from the United States? Certainly Children's Health Defense, but who else from the United States have you heard from?
Between us, right now, we are really happy that you can help us, because there is, as I said, there is you that we met. Uh-huh. There is I have my partner in Ohio who is working, right, as I told you when we're talking. But apart from that, in the US, we don't have. This is why I think it's important to join forces, but this is initiative. Everybody seen Melanie in Belgium, in Switzerland. So this is why we need you also to have a relay, I think, in the US, because honestly, I had linked with other firms in the US, but they were, except my partner, we tried to have the help, but no US lawyer that I used to know did say yes to help us, and in other countries,
right,
so they said no. So we need also the help from the US.
Okay, so we're going to make this subscriber only for the first week, but then we'll take it public. And what I would tell everyone listening to this, if you know of attorneys who'd be interested in helping or connecting, we'll have the emails up there, and hopefully we can get you, you know, a lot more relationships, because I do think this has to go global. And I do think there are a lot of women in the United States who are dealing with this, and we need to get them feeling like they can go public, they can talk about it, they can share it, they can connect with each other. And it's quite marvelous when that happens.
Yeah, it is, honestly, will be really great, because I think the lack of help from the lawyers, the thing that they are afraid to go after the state or to go after Pfizer, or at least try to block this next dose. This is what we are asking, freedom for everyone. if you want, this is a personal choice.
Right. So Andrew Wakefield, I don't know if you saw it, Andrew Wakefield, who made the documentary Infertility, a Diabolical Agenda, and I will mention for those of you who haven't seen it, it's movie of the week that this will run, and it's about sort of involuntary sterilization using vaccines in Kenya. So it's a well-documented case study of where vaccinations were used to sterilize without anyone's permission. It was, you know, covert. Anyway, but Andrew Wakefield was giving an interview and he said, according to the CDC's latest statistics, so this is in the United States, 72% of American people, if they haven't had an injection, they're rejecting the first one. If they have had one, they're rejecting the second one. And if they've had two, they're rejecting the third. And he said, what's interesting about that statistic, he said, first of all, this is the CDC statistics. But what he said is interesting about that statistic is that that reflects a huge loss of trust. And when that kind of trust is lost, you can't get it back. So I dare say when people spread this story to their friends and family in the United States, they, you know, you're going to find a lot of people are going to trust what you say.
And also, I promise it's going to be finished, but I really make this big draft of the battle plan with everything, because you will be helpful to translate for everyone and to understand what we are especially doing from a low perspective. So this will be really helpful to have a translation on right. this report.
Right. Well, what I will do is I'll put up what I have, but as you send me things, particularly if they're in English, then I'll add them to the commentary so they can be collected there. Okay. Well, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed meeting you both. And we're in cahoots. And I just think you are going right at the heart of the matter. And I think you're doing it in a way that is very effective. It's astonishing what you've accomplished. People always tell me, I'm only one person. And now I know, oh, well, look at Diane and Melody. I mean, what's your excuse? No, but it shows what someone can do. You just never know until you get out there and you try. So I just think the more we can gather and support you, that's what we want to do. So I can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know, Melody, you're in the middle of work and are sneaking off from a workshop or something to talk to us. Anything else you want to tell us before we close today?
Just, I'm always telling people to speak about that. Just speak, because very young girl, they just don't know what it's happening in their body,
right,
you know?
Right.
So we have to talk about that and talk and talk.
Right. I'm adding that because I was really moved by one of the testimony of young girls that are going to Melody Instagram saying, I cannot speak to my mother because my mother said to me to go for vaccine. And I, of course, some mother, they send their children to get vaccination thinking they were doing the best for their children, right, but they will still go to school, etc. And having young girls asking Melody, what can I do because I cannot tell my mother? I think it's heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. But for the mother too, it's crazy. Just they were thinking that it was a good thing to do, you know?
Right.
And now their children has been poisoned.
It's hard. It's very difficult. We have a health series on the Solera Report. And it's run by a wonderful mother who is an RN. She's a nurse. And she had just finished her training as a nurse when her son was born and then became vaccine injured, neurological damage from a vaccination. And she said the hardest part was forgiving herself for allowing her child, you know, being complicit in getting her child poisoned. And she said, when I was in nursing school, I was trained that if I dropped a vial of a vaccine, that I couldn't just clean it up. I had to get somebody wearing a biohazard suit, or I had to wear a biohazard suit. And that was my training. So why would I allow that be injected into my baby's body? Something that would require a biohazardous suit to clean up, you know? And so she really struggled for years with forgiving herself. And she said, that was essential. So anything we can do to help the parents and the mothers, I think that is very important to do. It's very important.
Yeah, it's very important. We can't judge neither. I think we have to help each other.
Right, exactly.
Or it's gonna, or the world is gonna be over, you know, it's the only thing we can do.
Right. Right. We're here to help people, all the people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Although some of them we have to stop from doing really. We have to stop them from murdering us.
No,
you know, I'm not the lawyer of everyone. I promise, if we should, I won't defend them after that. I won't try.
But I want to say that sometimes, you know, some people are vaccinated, others are not, and their little war was just, what a bad thing. It's not a good thing to do. We have to work together, or it's gonna be a worse nightmare than it is today. Right. So stop fighting together and just go to fight with someone else.
Exactly. So Diana will always lead us to pick the right person to fight with. We don't have to worry about that. We have our Geiger counter here. Okay, Diane, anything you want to say before we close? Anything you want to add?
No, that I'm really happy to meet you and to know that we can count on your help to make this happen also in the US. And as I promised, you will have the work done by me, and it's almost finished. So I keep my promises to everyone, and I will send all the documents.
Okay, well, thank you both very much for joining us on the Salaria Report. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. Okay?
Merci, Catherine.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.